Keep It Locked for Border 04, an audio tour of Europe's eastern edge. Stories and sounds of the unstoppable movement of people across the borders of Serbia, Romania, and the Ukraine. Of campaigns for legalization, workers' rights, and freedom. In the midst of countries ravaged by 15 years of structural adjustment and war. CKLN was there, and we're bringing it to you for the next half hour. And hello again. This is one of a series of programs. It's the fourth one, produced from interviews and audio recorded in the summer, this past summer of 2004, during the tour of activists and researchers looking at life on and across the borders of the European Union. Now, the European Union expanded on May 1st of 2004 to incorporate many former socialist bloc countries. Effectively, May 1st created a new eastern border for the European Union, one of the country's most powerful and wealthiest labor markets. Serbia, Romania, and the Ukraine are all just outside the new eastern border of the European Union. And along this route, we met people from very diverse backgrounds. Some of them were on the move from the east to the west, and others were advocates for the rights of migrants. So for the next half hour, I'm going to be sharing some stories of students and merchants from the Middle East and from China, who've made their homes in Serbia and Romania, temporary or permanent. Belgrade is the capital of Serbia and Montenegro, of the former Yugoslavia. It's a city of 1.5 million people, a political, cultural, and economic center. This summer, anti-racist researchers spent time in the Asian market of Block 70 to understand the relationships between the Chinese merchants and the Serbian and Roma people working for them. In July, they presented some of their impressions in a performance called Transit Migration, alongside the observations of Manuela Boyajev. You'll hear some street noise from the market produced by Ultra Red. It's a music production collective.
Block 17, Novi Belgrad, is a place where the margins organize a tenuous possibility, where proximity has yet to produce familiarity. The market is a large two-floor structure that hosts more than 300 shops. The bargain goods range from clothing to kitchen utensils. Any day of the week you go there, you'll be engulfed by shoppers, clerks, and merchants. The market at Block 70 is a busy place inhabited by various groups of people. Local Serbian people, mostly women, work as sales employees in the shops. They also work in Chinese restaurants, chopping the vegetables and delivering food to the shops next door. They work from 9 to 6 or from 6 to 4 every day of the week for 300 dinars a day. Some of them have been laid off from previous jobs and found themselves in Block 70. Some, especially young women, could not find work elsewhere and opted for Block 70. Others come and go, working here and there. Block 70 hosts a large number of Roma people. A part of them have arrived to Serbia only recently after being deported from Germany. In Germany, they had a temporary residency that had to be renewed every 3 months. To be forcibly removed from Germany, to be picked up by the police at 6 in the morning with no time to pack, to be put in the van to be returned to the airport, to flown out of the country hours later. Return to Germany denied for 4 years. The alternative, called voluntary return, happens after social benefits have been cut off or the work permit has been suspended. It means to have 2 weeks to pack one's belongings. It is possible to return to Germany, but only for a holiday or a short visit. Some of the Roma were deported to Serbia, Montenegro, and Kosovo after a 7-month-long struggle. In April 2002, Roma organized a caravan of protest throughout Germany. They occupied a public square in Düsseldorf from July to December 2002. Several demonstrations and hunger strikes were organized. After police raids, Romas occupied offices in the Socialist and Socialist Democratic Party. While the deportation class flights to Pristina 3 times a week, on their ways, Roma demanded their immediate stop. And they demanded their right to stay in Germany. Finding a low-paid job in Block 70 is of little consolation for those who have spent the last 12 years of their lives in Germany, for those who planned to live there, fall in love there. In Serbia, they are foreigners. In Serbia, some of them don't even speak the language. In Serbia, they cannot continue their education and training. Chinese nationals run the shops in Block 70. They cannot own property. They cannot buy a flat or a shop. They have to negotiate with Serbian owners to rent a shop. The small shop costs between 200 and 3,000 euros a month. Chinese people are granted between 3 to 6 months resident permits that can only be prolonged for another 3 to 6 months. In the past, especially in the 90s, Chinese people were granted permission to stay longer than 6 months, sometimes up to 2 years. Today, the renewal of one's temporary residency is dependent on the amount of taxes paid, but it is rarely extended for more than 6 months. Visas are currently given only to the close family members, such as a wife, husband, and children, but not to aunts, brothers, cousins. Because of their temporary residency status, Chinese parents send their children born in Serbia to schools back in China. In fact, Serbian law does not provide permanent status for any foreigners. This is so even if Chinese nationals have been in Serbia for as long as 10 years. After 10 years, the immigration status is the same as the moment they first arrived. It is not accidental that at this point in time, at this specific moment, in this specific place, the mediators between the different groups at Block 70 are translators. The Serbian redundant worker compelled to accept a low-wage job as clerk sales. The Roma youth recently deported to Serbia from Germany. And the Chinese shopkeepers are all only able to speak to each other through a translator. Does the Roma youth with German deportation papers know that the Chinese woman for whom he works is experiencing a similar process of insecurity? Does the Serbian woman who has fled from Vukovar and is working in the kitchen for a Chinese restaurant know that the Roma man, recently deported from Germany, has memories of a movement of resistance? How can they speak together? In this place, the name migrant is almost premature. A Chinese merchant speaking through a translator laments that it's not even possible for him to consider himself a migrant. A migrant, he says, is someone who has rights. To name oneself a migrant is itself a political act, a form of resistance, a demand, a transformation of everyday life.
That was Manuela Bojagiev presenting her impressions of Belgrade's Chinese market, Block 70. Street Noise was recorded and produced by Daunt Rhine of Ultra Red. As in Belgrade, Chinese merchants are also selling clothing in Timișoara, an industrial city of 350,000 on the western edge of Romania. Alongside Arab merchants, they work on a market strip of bazaars and shops called by some Little Gaza. Eastern European societies are formed by centuries of cultural mixing and complex negotiations across language and religion. But like in Belgrade, there are few brown faces on the streets of Timișoara, and a neighborhood like Little Gaza stands out. We interviewed several shopkeepers in Little Gaza, asking how did they come to Romania? How established are their communities? Is Romania the final stop in their migration journey, or are they still on the move? How do they see themselves? How does their experience shape their perspective on the world? One Chinese businessman explained through his young Romanian employee that there are only 40 Chinese people in the whole city, with no community organizations at all. He himself had arrived in 1997, knowing nobody there. Since then, he's divorced his Chinese wife and remarried. He showed us pictures of his son, dressed in traditional Chinese costume in one photo, and alongside a drawing of Santa Claus in another. This man was well-informed in global politics. He asked my German companion his views about the Green Party and Gerhard Schröder, whose foreign policy he approved of. He was aware that the Governor General of Canada, Adrian Clarkson, is of Chinese heritage. For me, the world became a little smaller in that moment, in a small shop in an Arab market in Timișoara, Romania. In the heat of midday on the patio of a falafel stand, we met the Syrian man who owned the restaurant. It took a few minutes for us to summon up the courage to approach him and start asking questions. He and his associates were talking on cell phones, sometimes two at a time, and passing their knowledge on to a teenage boy who hung on their every word. This businessman had been in Romania for 6 years, and in fact owns a chain of Middle Eastern fast food restaurants. He also owns a pesticide plant and drives a Mercedes. Obviously successful, he feels sympathy for the Romanian people who struggle with the high prices for water, electricity, and medical care. Life was better for regular people, he said, under Nicolae Ceaușescu, the socialist ruler deposed and executed in 1989. He hopes that his wife and two children, still in Serbia, in Syria, will be joining him soon. Their next stop, they hope, is Canada. His wife is studying to improve her English before they apply to immigrate. Immigrating to Western Europe, he says, is too difficult. Our last interview of the day was the most powerful for us. A Palestinian from Gaza, this man came to Romania on Jordanian travel documents in the early 1990s. He now lives between France and Romania and carries a French passport. We talked about the strength needed to make those long journeys from one's home to the west, to the north, to a new home. Strength, yes, he said, but more than that, patience. At his shoe store in the back corner of the bazaar under a fierce afternoon sun, we talked politics. He was living in Strasbourg on the French-German border in July 2002, when police fired rubber bullets on crowds of people protesting detention centers for migrants. He had seen the protests on TV. No border, no nation, stop deportation was a familiar slogan to him. The Arab community of Timișoara, he said, numbers about 1,200 and dates back to the 1970s when Ceaușescu had strong relations with Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and the people of Palestine. Many people had come to Romania as business people or students, married and stayed. But, he said, Arabs aren't accepted by the Romanians. It's very difficult to get Romanian citizenship, even after living in the country for years. They hate Arabs, he said, and they know that we know that they hate us. With relatives in Michigan, in London, England, and throughout the Palestinian diaspora, he had a truly international perspective and admires the Arab communities of England and the United States. With organization, he said, you can be powerful. The last story that I'll share today is an interview with Sandeep Singh. He's a medical student at the University of Timișoara. Several years ago, the university opened an English language faculty and began marketing itself to international students. Romanian credentials are accepted in India. While sitting in the Indian restaurant that he owns, right in Timișoara's beautiful market square, we asked him how he chose Timișoara as his place to study.
I'm telling you frankly, I have documents. I cleared TOEFL. I was about to go to USA.
Yeah.
I got an admission in Ohio University. Ohio University, and I got the room also. But somehow it was 11 September. And on that period, every visa were no students were allowed to enter in USA, especially medicine students. This was the reason I am here, and I am very keen to go to Ohio. I have TOEFL score. I got 250 out of 300 in TOEFL. Mm-hmm. I was the head boy of my school, the best student. So I was regarded as the one of the best. That's why my teachers told me, Sandeep, go forward. So I want to go to USA, but somehow then I choose certain countries. But I want to go to USA because there we have also other opportunities. And if I didn't go to USA, then I choose Romania.
And did you did you know anything about Timișoara before, about Romania?
Yeah, I check everything on the internet. I told you it is known as Little Vienna.
Yeah.
It was under the rule of Austria. Romania was under the rule of Turkish Empire. And Timișoara, the first electric train was in Timișoara. First street lights were in Timișoara. I have a CD of Timișoara. Like this I know a little bit, not so much.
Yeah.
And it is on the western border of... It is the gateway to Europe, you can say.
Yeah.
Like everybody say like this.
Mm-hmm. So you're planning just to go to university here and then go back, or you...
Because definitely I love my country. I have to 3 exams, written exams. Then I will sit in the another 1 year practice. I have to see the patients for 1 year. The doctors will see. I know anything that I am coming from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will give me the degree. Then I can practice there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Is it expensive to study here? Do you have to pay a lot?
We are paying $3,600 per year. And it's okay.
Yeah, that's good. Good compared to US.
Oh, it's very. But this means that you are going to, but there's a lot of difference between US and Romania.
Yeah.
But my future planning, I will try my best to clear PLEB. PLEB is a written exam for England.
Mm-hmm.
So I will try my best.
Oh, so you want to go to England? That's your...
I will try my country, USMLE, for USA, for the, because I can't go to, even I apply for France, for Germany. But this problem is that you have to learn the language. I know for the Germany. Germany, there's no fees for medicine. Just you have to learn the language. I applied everything. I consulted everything. I want my future to be bright.
The Indian students in Timișoara number about 300, and they come from all over the world. Sandeep himself is from New Delhi, but his classmates come from North America, Western and Eastern Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and of course... Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, among other foreign students. Just last year, the Indian students founded the Indian Students Association, and the Indian ambassador himself came in person from Bucharest to attend the launch.
So we organized some fest, we organized some cultural programs. We, you know, cricket, our game. We organized cricket tournament. I was the captain, one of the team. We organized certain dance competition, some parties, some cultural programs, some historical, like we have some traditional days. We celebrate them in our university. Our association is doing, and it's increasing day by day.
So why did you start this year, the Indian Students Association?
Just to be together. It's good to be together, to be in some banner. It's not so benefit, but still. Like, we are so far away from India. Like, in Punjabi religion, we have Vaisakhi, 13th of April, the birthday of my religion. We can't celebrate here. I can't celebrate single. If there's association, my association will provide enough fund so that everybody, 300, will come. And doesn't matter if they are Punjabi or Hindu, Muslim, everybody collect there. Christians, Muslim, Hindu, Sikhs, and Punjabi. They are all together to celebrate my religion. And when their chance, I will go there. So this is to be together.
That's really special.
Yeah, this is India. And I'm proud that that's why I'm from India. That's why I'm proud. I told you, my best friend Usman is Muslim. I am Punjabi. And there's Abhimanyu, he's Hindu. But we are living together. We are eating on the same plate.
That was Sandeep Singh, a medical student and restaurant owner who shared some time with us in Timișoara, Romania. Romania is poised to enter the European Union, possibly as soon as 2007, and 300 Indian students, among other foreign students, are learning the Romanian language right now, establishing businesses and building their ties with the local community. What I appreciated most through all these conversations was the friendliness and the openness which Sandeep and the shopkeepers of Little Gaza spoke with us in. Their openness was based, it seemed to me, on their experience of living in and moving through many different countries and cultures. Meeting Sandeep and the merchants of Little Gaza gave us a glimpse of how communities become established in a new place and allowed us to appreciate the global outlook of the people making those moves. And you have been listening to Border 04, an audio tour of Europe's eastern edges. Interviews and audio in this program were collected in the summer of 2004 during a research tour along the new eastern borders of the European Union. In the next program of this series, I'll be sharing some of the most grim stories of this tour, the experiences of people living in refugee camps and immigration prisons. These programs will soon be available for download. Check www.ckln.fm for the link, or write to news@ckln.fm. We'll also have CDs of the entire series. So give us a call and let us know what you think at 416-595-5068. And thanks for listening.